That just can't happen, and the impacts to traffic in there can't tolerate day, night, all of that kind of work. The project now is looking at, and what I've been advocating for a while, is don't look at the project as three-laning, then coming back and upgrading that to four-laning, and then coming back and adding an interchange and all this and that. Look at all the way from the airport to the bridge as one project, with phase one, phase two, phase three. Because if we keep going back to MoDOT and saying, okay, we want another project, and we want another project, and another project, what we need to do is get that whole corridor approved. And that's going to take a comprehensive, large plan. Then, in my estimation, it makes some sense to go from Highway 65 to the Shooting Sports Academy or the new Thunder Arena in a four-lane format. Everybody's mobilized, everybody's digging, everybody's doing everything. Let's four-lane it instead of three-lane. Now then, the question is, there was an original thought about four-laning to the bridge. My thought about four-laning to the bridge is the bridge is two lanes. So we run four lanes down there, and you can only get two lanes across the bridge. But that three-lane format, a Super 2, that has turn lanes in front of Long Creek Road and a couple of those other places where you're going to die every time you try and turn, is good. And then cut the number of accesses of driveways and minor subdivision feeders and all of that stuff way down, so you don't have people coming in all over the place while you're driving down a highway. And again, in the four-laning section, that will get the improvements on the corner of the new Dollar General, which you come around the corner, people are either coming on and off the road 100 feet ahead of you at no acceleration lanes or anything. So that goes. The interchange. Instead of MoDOT has got a plan to do 265 with a flyover bridge, and you have to go around and come up and come back on the highway, and it only services, you have to get on whichever side of the highway you're on to turn around and come back. My estimation is that's a lot of money for a lot of messing around. Instead of doing all that stuff at 265, let's get the 6586 interchange in. It's just a plain urban diamond. I don't even know that it has to be a diverging diamond, because two-way traffic. And then the other thing is, if you extend to the airport, it solves a lot of the event traffic problem down there. Park people at the golf course parking lots and transit them back and forth in. And you have Branson Creek Boulevard, and then this new way in, instead of piling everybody up. The other thing with four lanes, if you go to these big event areas, they have what they call moving parking lots. You take either the inside two lanes or the outside two lanes, and you make them event lanes. And then there still is through traffic on the remaining two lanes, so that you don't have to close 86 down to have an event. You three-lane that, it doesn't help you with that, because you can have an event lane, but it's either going in or it's coming out. If you have two-way traffic alternate that, can't work. So you have two-lane event traffic, now you only have one-way regular traffic. We're going to have to survive two September events, and there may be some time when Highway 86 is just basically event traffic, and it's not going to be through traffic to routine traffic, and we're just going to have to survive that. But then we get the four-lane plan, we get funding locked down by the first of the calendar year, I think it makes sense then to kick off the four-lane piece of that project and maybe even force forward an interchange. But I think that makes more sense to me. And I, this last Friday, when we had a pretty good meeting about it, I think that's the direction that we're going to wind up seeing be more viable. That's just me saying that, but I think you're going to see that. I don't think we're going to try and force through three laning by September.
And the first event is September 23rd, 25th. That's this September.
That's coming this September.
Up. Pretty soon.
Now,
the rodeo.
Jason, has there been a cost estimate on the four laning or three lane?
I have seen it since there's no loadout rep here, no big repeater about the minutes, but I don't know if we're disclosing the three lane versus four lane too much to know that yet, because it's probably a bit permit.
Yep.
It's a three lane, is my understanding. So that's all.
But let's say that just the driving surface and that kind of stuff is $15 million.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. There's a lot of payment there.
Okay, now here's something you're going to hear a lot. The governor comes down, meets with everybody, and says, where are the locals? Why are they not pitching in? There is a central collection sewer system that makes this thing work. And the county share of that is $10 million. And that comes to the Hollister plant. Travis is doing part of the design, or finishing the design on diamond filtering for us to move our final filtering process to diamond filtering, because we're receiving flow now from Branson or Buffalo Ridge, and we will be from Big Cedar. And that second phase, that actual execution is $4 million. There's $14 million of local money. That when these guys come along and say, where are the locals? This is not just an asphalt project, kids. This is a total infrastructure upgrade to that whole area.
Brian and the sewer district are doing quite a bit. You guys doing quite a bit. Everybody's. The county commission allocated a good deal of money towards the sewer. Everybody's pitched in a good amount of money.
So I don't want to be at odds with the governor or anybody else, but I'm going to tell you, don't bite off on this crap that the locals are standing back and watching somebody else do the heavy lifting, because that is bullshit. I'm just telling you right now. So just make sure that you guys are aware, so that when you hear this kind of stuff, you say, wait a minute, let me tell you the real deal here. And the other thing is, yeah, somebody from Highway 86 starts chirping and calls MoDOT. They say, you need to talk to your local guys. I wish we knew how many hours we spent talking to Highway 86 people that we couldn't really influence. It was MoDOT. So where are the locals? The locals are fronting this with taking the face shots on a lot of this stuff. So when you hear that stuff, know the truth. That's all I'm telling you about that. So
we've got another project that's going to be helped out, and that is on our item number 9, the US-65 upgrade. Beth Schaller, with the STIP that we talked about earlier, she's very high that they're going to be doing some work over the next 5 years on all of those grade separations, probably from all the way from Saddlebrook to the Arkansas line. And the ones that get the emphasis are the ones that will help out, like at 86, and ones we can give input from the Taney County side to do first and put the money up first. And maybe they can allocate that. I know they're going to have their schedule. They're going to have their plans, and they have to meet with their contractors and everything that they let on their contractors. But if we can continue to give input to that process of where to lay the priorities, that's when this list becomes advantageous. And also working with the Council of Governments to emphasize where the impetus needs to be. But there is going to be funds available, and we'll be upgrading that item, which will be going on for a long time before it's completed. But segments of it can be completed in stages.
Well, and once there's a public release and there's a public direction, we need to come through here And these set of priorities need to reflect that, because before MoDOT is going to build any of these improvements, they're going to go through and ask Council of Governments where they rank in all of this stuff, and Council of Governments is going to need us to send this, and they can't be mid to bottom of our priorities, and we ask them to go ahead and advance them up and do that for cost share, governments cost share, or MTFC cost share programs, because they're going to have to go through this process. And if we haven't moved them up, but before we go do a bunch of this stuff, we need to understand how this is going to go and what the real priority is, so that we move the real stuff up and don't accidentally prioritize something that isn't going to happen or is going to be out their way. So I think there's a role for us to play. It's just we're probably a month or two too early yet. But eventually we're going to have to look at this and rescore some sheets or do some dang thing. But that will come too.
Meantime, we can clean out the deadwood like we're identified today. We've got apparently some, not deadwood projects, they're in there, they were put in there for a good reason, whoever originated, whatever district originated that project, but time changes things. So keeping that sheet up to date and clean, and keep it where the public can see what accomplishments we're making, particularly as we add completed projects down to the bottom, and Devon County projects get added all there. That's a good thing for the public to see. That gains confidence in people to know where they can go and get good information on how we're ranking priority projects.
They're seeing progress.
Whether they're safety projects or whatever they might be.
Well, not many of you guys, I think, were on this when this all started. But when this process started, it was basically every district come up with some projects. And it may have been one phone call of somebody complaining, like I saw a Forsyth Angels on there to head shoulders. You know, it'd be great if that ever going to happen. We put basically every project that came up on this list, so it's worth your time to go through this. And we can cut 10 under.
Go right ahead.
I just wanted to mention, like, in addition to like this list that the county has, SimCorp also has our like Taney County transportation needs list for MoDOT, like state routes, so updating that with their top priorities, and then like if there's like any cost share opportunities, then like we like a letter of support, as we mentioned, based on where the need is.
So as we do this, we need to make sure this and Peshawari's match, and then also too, Beth Schauer has to write a letter. It's every level locally from the county on up that make sure that they support these things before they'll even go. And then once we actually get into real negotiations with cost share, we're going to go out to the schools, we're going to go out to all the other transportation stakeholders and ask them for letters. Because that cost share packet, are you guys going to produce those packets? So they're going to need the help in making sure that that baby weighs meaty. So that's part of it. But it's a little too early to get going yet.
Once final decisions are made,
we're
clearly directed on what's allowed to be done after.
And Spencer was in on that Friday meeting. He heard all this discussion. Sounds
great. 39, well, is that the one that you said, is that, was that the head and shoulders to, any new business that hasn't already been covered?
Carlos, did you have anything?
No, I think you said it all. Wanted to do these projects as soon as possible to improve the safety. I've been here before. You know, I think, you know, one thing that I look at, if I do one thing at one school, I better do it at the other, because I'll have parents saying, okay, you built secure vestibules at one facility, security of the other student, that would be not important.